ॐ सहनावगतु सहनौनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। We'll chant the first 5 verses of chapter 15. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Urdhva Mula Madashakam, Urdhva Mula Madashakam, Ashvattam Prahuravyayam, Ashvattam Prahuravyayam, Chandam Siyasya Parnani, Chandam Siyasya Parnani, Yastam Veda Savedavit, Yastam Veda Savedavit, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Urdhva Mula Madashakam, Ashvattam Prahuravyayam, Chandam Siyasya Parnani, Yastam Veda Savedavit, Adaschordvam Prasrutasya Shakaha, Adaschordvam Prasrutasya Shakaha, Gunapravruddha Vishaya Pravalaha, Gunapravruddha Vishaya Pravalaha, Adascha Moolanyanu Santatani, Adascha Moolanyanu Santatani, Karmanubandini Manushya Loke, Karmanubandini Manushya Loke, Adaschordvam Prasrutasya Shakaha, Gunapravruddha Vishaya Pravalaha, Adascha Moolanyanu Santatani, कर्मानुबन्धीनि मनुष्यलोके न रूपमस्येह ततोपलभ्यते न रूपमस्येह ततोपलभ्यते नान्तो न चादेर्न च सम्प्रदिष्टा नान्तो न चादेर्न च सम्प्रदिष्टा अश्वत्थमेनं सुविरूढमूलम् अश्वत्थमेनं सुविरूढमूलम् असङ्गशस्त्रेण दृढेन चित्त्वा असङ्गशस्त्रेण दृढेन चित्त्वा न रूपमस्येन ततोपलभ्यते नान्तो न चादेर्न च सम्प्रतिष्ठा अश्वत्थमेनं सुविरूढमूलम् असङ्गशस्त्रेण दृढेन चित्त्वा ततः परं तत्परिमार्गितव्यं ततः परं तत्परिमार्गितव्यम् यस्मिन् गता न निवर्तन्ति भूयः यस्मिन् गता न निवर्तन्ति भूयः तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये यतः प्रवृत्ति प्रसृता पुराणी यतः प्रवृत्ति प्रसृता पुराणी ततः परं तत्परिमार्गितव्यम् यस्मिन् गता न निवर्तन्ति भूयः तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये यतः प्रवृत्ति प्रसृता पुराणी निर्माणमोहाजितसङ्गदोषाः निर्माणमोहाजितसङ्गदोषाः अध्यात्मनित्या विनिवृत्तकामाः अध्यात्मनित्या विनिवृत्तकामाः द्वन्द्वैर्विमुक्ता सुखदुःखसङ्गैः द्वन्द्वैर्विमुक्ता सुखदुःखसङ्गैः गच्छन्त्यमूढा पदमव्ययं तत् गच्छन्त्यमूढा पदमव्ययं तत् निर्माणमोहादितसङ्गदोषाः अध्यात्मनित्या विनिवृत्तकामाः द्वन्द्वैर्विमुक्ता सुखदुःखसङ्गैः गच्छन्त्यमूढा पदमव्ययं तत्
Today we'll be beginning with chapter 15, Purushottama Yoga, Yoga of Supreme Being. Purusha Uttama. Uttama Purusha. Uttama Purusha refers to Nirguna Brahman, the ultimate pure consciousness. This chapter is a very, very important chapter, off-quoted chapter. It is in fact a very, very small chapter. And this is a chapter traditionally chanted fully before the meal. So traditional people, when you chant this verses, may probably think of food. Not really. I'm putting it in a very light-hearted way. Because food is consumed for sustenance, for living. And they remind themselves to tell that this is consumed to live, to be able to become free from this samsara, attaining Uttama Purusha. The goal of life is to get back to the origin. Like the rain emerges from the ocean and it collects in the form of river and gets back to the ocean. So every individual's ultimate goal is to get back to the origin. In between, we are lost in this samsara. Samsara means that which constantly keeps changing. Samsarati, it is samsara. Now, you will only aspire for moksha from this samsara if you understand that you are caught in the samsara. So this chapter is a very deep chapter. In fact, the third part of the Gita, which this chapter is part of, itself emphasizes on Jnana Yoga as a sadhana. It talks about the Jiva Ishvara Aikya Sambandham, how the individual is essentially the Atma, that connection it talks about. And also chapter 16 and 17 talks about a lot of values that one needs to gain so that your mind is able to be controlled for you to get back to the origin. So this portion from 13 to 18 emphasizes on Jnana Yoga as a sadhana. Then it talks about Jiva Ishvara Aikya Sambandham. Then the values required for you to control your mind and direct them towards the infinite. Now, if you are clear that you are caught in this world, I want to somehow escape. I want the freedom. You ask any child, even child wants freedom. Child doesn't want to be told, do this, don't do this. They get irritated. Keep quiet, they'll tell you. All of the time telling me what I should do, what I should not do. Everybody wants to be free. So they think freely doing what they like is freedom. That is not freedom. Really speaking, what you are bound by is your own likes and dislikes. You are in a way functioning purely on your likes and dislikes. You are caught by your likes and dislikes. When you function in your likes and dislikes, you are creating desires. The desires trap you. And when you function propelled by desires, we have seen this before, so I'm not going into the details. If you are propelled by selfish desires, you develop what is called as papa phala. If you function on unselfish desires, you develop what is called as punya phala. And this punya and papa brings you back into this world again and again. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam. Says the Bhaja Govinda. Again and again you are born. Again you die. Why? Because of the punya and papa. And why are you collecting punya and papa? Because you are functioning propelled by your desires, likes and dislikes. So once I understand that I am caught, only then I want freedom. Otherwise, why will I want freedom? And this chapter tells you, if you understand what this chapter talks about, and if you practice that, it in fact gives you the method to become free from this samsara. How to become free, how to become absolutely free, how to attain that liberty. And this is for people who are craving for liberty, having understood that they are caught. Otherwise you say, what samsara, I am enjoying, I am not interested. What is wrong? Back, I was attending a wedding in Chennai many years ago. The couple who were getting married, they had a dream to have their wedding on the seashore. So they organized in that fisherman's cove, you know, which is on the Kovalam beach. We were attending wedding and one fellow caught me because he knows I am teaching Vedanta. While the wedding is going on in the morning, in South India the wedding is happening early morning. He started talking to me about samsara and all that, and he is telling me, I am enjoying my in samsara, why should I get rid of samsara? Why in Vedanta that you are teaching says about getting rid of it, it's not for you. You are saying anyway you are enjoying samsara, no, come back again, that is no problem. The day you think you are caught, I must escape, that day you will think about Vedanta. Really speaking, Vedanta is not. Because that is why majority of people would be interested in Veda, not the Vedanta. Because in Veda, the Veda Purvaka, when we say Veda, we mean the Veda Purvaka. Mantra, Brahmana, Aranyaka. They are talking about various rituals. And each ritual has certain fall. They are interested in that. Now if you conduct yajna here, your house will not be enough. Throughout, and especially when the yajna is going on, final ahuti is being, the thing is being distributed, maximum crowd.
Fall.
Nobody understands, nobody wants to work without fall. And what they don't understand is, it comes with a trap. Whenever, you know, in the US and all, they have a mobile phone, many of them, and they are bound to that company. You know, here you can freely port, no? Go from this company to that company. But the mobile phone you have to buy, it's expensive. If you want to buy a good, decent mobile phone with all the features, it costs you 40-50,000 rupees. So in US, they get it at a very, very cheap rate. But it is a contract with some company. Different companies are there. You have a contract for 3 years, 4 years, so monthly you are paying $150, $200. You know that, no? Exactly like that. When you are working for a fruit, it comes with that kind of a contract. It traps you. You don't understand that. Majority goes for that. And then once they go for it, they get caught. This is what the 18th chapter says. We get there, we'll see. That which begins the nectar ends up as success. In fact, sense contact. Contact born enjoyment. Sense contact born enjoyment are in the beginning like nectar. Ends up as poison. This is samsara. This is how we all get trapped. In fact, in Tamil, the word for senses is pori. Pori means trap. Rat-trap is called as eli. Eli means rat. Eli-pori means rat-trap. How do they trap the rat?
Temptation.
They put some vada or something there. So the smell is there. So the rat goes to eat the vada and it gets caught. Exactly like that, your senses get attracted to the sense objects. And you create fruit, you want security, you think the fruit will give you security. After a while, you want security from the very fruit. For the fruit, you need one more security. It goes on. Endlessly it goes on. Right? Like what happened to Indira Gandhiji, Madam Indira Gandhiji. She was killed by her own security guards. So you will, to protect yourself, you need your own security. And then you are scared of your own security. Your own security binds you. It's a big trap that one falls into. Right? People want to be famous, but they do not want the paparazzi. But once you become famous, and wherever you go, whatever happens, the fellow is going to be chasing you, then you crave for freedom. It's a very big trap, this samsara. So, that's what he's saying. This chapter deals with samsara and the way to rise above samsara. Uttama Purusha Yoga. Purushottama Yoga. It has only 20 verses. Not a very big chapter, but it's a very deep chapter. The 20 verses are split into 4 topics by Swamiji's research. The first topic runs from verse 1 to 6, there in the book. Brahman is macrocosm. This entire world, macrocosm means the entire world, is essentially nothing but Brahman. What is seeming to you as world is nothing but Brahman. Not only Brahman, macrocosm is Brahman, microcosm, you, Shweta, Sadhana, Mamta, Lakshmi Narayan is also infinite. There's a very, very interesting lecture by Swaminathita. It's called Finite is Infinite. What appears to you as finite, when you actually probe it, you will understand that it's not finite. He gives the example of a cat. Now, cat is finite or infinite?
Finite.
But if you probe, one cat produces few cats. And those few cats produce few cats. They produce few cats. So actually that cat was nothing but infinite. And then he gives various examples, seed. So what you think you are finite, you are not finite, you are infinite. How you look at it? So he says, Brahman is macrocosm, Brahman is microcosm, from 7 to 11. Brahman is the essence in both, akshara, it is the imperishable, from verses 12 to 15. In other words, first he defines Brahman as kshara. Macrocosm also, kshara means perishable. Microcosm, macrocosm both are perishable. This perishable world first is introduced as Brahman. Then you should not misunderstand Brahman as also perishable. Therefore he then says, Brahman is the imperishable aspect in the perishable. Okay, Brahman is the imperishable aspect in the perishable. So that is the next topic, 12 to 15. Brahman is essence in both. Both means macrocosm and microcosm. Verse 12 to 15. Then the fourth topic, 16 to 20 is, Brahman is even beyond akshara, even beyond imperishable. Brahman is Uttama Purusha, Supreme Being, beyond Kshara and Akshara. Now what is this beyond Kshara and Akshara? Kshara means perishable. Akshara means imperishable. But when you understand Brahman as an imperishable aspect in the perishable, then you are limiting Brahman to the perishable. You are conceiving Brahman through the perishable. And secondly, Brahman is not a conceivable thing. Whatever you conceive is also an aspect of your intellect. Brahman is beyond what you can conceive. It is indescribable, inconceivable. Therefore, it is even beyond akshara. You got it? Akshara, you understand, this perishable. This glass.
Got it, but to absorb it.
No, to absorb it, you have to daily study. There is nothing else I can do about it. You have to little bit study. If you understood, to absorb it, you have to study. So, pot is there. Pot is made of clay. Various forms of pots are there. Right? These forms are perishable. The imperishable is
the clay.
But you, if you understand clay with reference to pot only, that's a mistake, because clay is spread everywhere also. Therefore, first, for a person who doesn't understand clay, he says, see the pot, that is clay. Then you think this form and color is clay. So no, that is not clay. The material with which it is made, that is clay. The form and color changes, but the clay doesn't change. That is imperishable. But clay is not only with reference to pot, it is spread everywhere also. So therefore, kshara, akshara, uttama purusha. He introduces Brahman from the known to the unknown. What is known to you? What is known to you is the form and name. So first he comes to your level. So always, when you are trying to talk about the unknown, you have to explain the unknown from the level where the person is. Isn't it? Now you may be PhD in math, but if you are teaching a third standard fellow, you have to come down to his level. If you are teaching 10th standard fellow, you have to come down to his level. You can't talk to PhD. Isn't it? So they come down to our level, from the known to the unknown, they are slowly taking us. Now by this understanding, by this jnanam, by getting this jnanam, what happens? then you will cover all your experiences in this world with Brahman. All your experiences will be covered with the consciousness of Brahman, with the awareness of Brahman, with pure consciousness. Then what happens is, you will be exhausting the existing vasanas and you will not be creating fresh vasanas. Thus, the samsara gets completely dissolved. That's the idea. So why are you running after things? Because you think it is something outside of you, you are different, it is somebody else's, it's not yours, you have to get it, if you get it, you will become better. But you understand that that is also Brahman, you are also Brahman, essentially everything is Brahman. Would your mind run after it? The running after business reduces. The creation of samsara is in your mind. Vedanta is not against food. Vedanta is against food being in your brain. A lot of people misunderstand these chapters. They say, Arey Baba, what are you talking about? So running after, if I stop, then how will I survive? So you are recommending me to become a sannyasi. Are you recommending us to become a beggar, bhiksha, to take bhiksha every day? That is not what Vedanta is talking about. All the Vedanta is about, food is there. When you are hungry, you need food. So food can be on the plate, food can be in your pate, in your stomach. But food, when it gets shifted from stomach or plate to brain, then it's a problem. The samsara is not your physical contact. The samsara is your mental liquid. Are you with me? So for the practical level, you need food, you work, you get it. But mentally you are lingering. No, that lingering will be stopped the moment you understand that everything is essentially Brahman. So without lingering, you will be freely acting. As a result, you can be physically active, productive, prosperous, peaceful, and spiritually also reducing vasanas. That is why we say, this chapter, to understand, this jnana you get, it helps you in samsara, nivritti, and attainment of moksha. This is the chapter. Brahman is macrocosm. Brahman is microcosm. Brahman is essence in both. It is the akshara in the kshara. Kshara means perishable. Akshara means imperishable. Uttama Pusha means it is beyond Kshara and Akshara. Means what? Do not try to understand Brahman intellectually. It is beyond the intellect. Okay? Now, let's get on to the verse number 1.
श्री भगवान उवाच श्री भगवान उवाच ऊर्ध्वमूलमदशाकम् अश्वत्तम प्राहुरव्ययम् चन्दांसि यस्य पर्णानि यस्तं वेद स वेदवित् श्रीभगवानुवाच ऊर्ध्वमूलमदशाकम् अश्वत्तं प्राहुरव्ययम् चन्दांसि यस्य पर्णानि यस्तं वेद स वेदवित्.
This is a very famous off-quoted portion where he gives the example of an Ashwatha tree. Ashwatha means people tree. You understand people tree?
Yes.
What is it called in Hindi?
People.
Achha, it's easy then. So, people.
It's a what? It's a South Indian word, people.
People is botanical word is something religious, cause something, but people is the English word.
People is a common people in Hindi.
I think, yeah. So that's good. It's easy for me. So he says, he compares the Ashwatha. In fact, it's not Krishna's original example. This example is given in Tathopanishad. Sri Krishna takes a lot of verses from Kathopanishad into Gita. In fact, the chariot also, for example, is there in Kathopanishad. So, in Kathopanishad it talks about Ashwatha, giant fig tree. That giant fig tree is compared to samsara. It's huge, right? Ashwatha tree is huge. And samsara is also huge. It's never ending. Lot of people say, you know, when my son finishes 12th and he goes to college, I am coming to your ashram. They said, and where is the son now? Maybe some standard relation, whatever it is. So then another 5 years, 6 years, that's it. And then once the fellow finishes 12th, just now before the class we were talking about the application process, you know, to get into some of the, that is another big samsara. And after getting into the college, you think samsara is over? No, samsara begins after that only. Like Pooja now has gone to UK, where the son has met with something, so he needs help. Like that, just 4 years he has got to finish. Post graduation and all is not an obligation. Ussamay I'm coming. And then that is, then just let him get settled and coming. Let him get married and coming. Then you know, it never ends. You always think it'll end. When you go abroad to give lectures, the people who come to meet the same thing, they've been telling the people, their folks back home, next year I'm coming back. Next year I'm coming back. Next year I'm coming back. Now, a friend of mine who went to US in 1996 or 97, he said, first 3 years I'll come back. 3 years I'll be there, I'll come back. Then, by the time he got married, he said, just now I got married, it's not fair. Another 3 years for my wife's sake. By the time they got children, one child I got here, it's not fair, let the other child also be born here. By that time, something like 10 years gone, 10, 11 years. By the time the first son has already come, so he said, like that he said, now 20 years over here, he is now telling me to come there. He says, you come there. So what I'm trying to do, I understand, I clearly understand how the samsara functions.
But Guruji, the animal kingdom doesn't get involved in it, as in like...
The animal kingdom has a very... level of mind is less, na?
No, but I think they also, in a sense, very they have their babies and then the baby is old enough, they push it out.
Mind.
It is not attached.
They are biologically, they are blessed by the world in the sense, they do not have the choice. They do not have a developed mind to go into the past and future.
And that attachment is, like, they'll be fierce to protect when the baby is small. They'll kill you too in protection. But once the baby is big enough, they will completely, then the baby will go their way and they are, I mean, they have no...
Because the brain, humans,
we are like, we can't let go.
The brain itself is structured in such a way that much only their attachment is. Beyond that it is not there. But human being has much more capability. He can go in fact, the very reason we are surviving and controlling all this is because we have this imagination power.
Is it that or is it that they are far more like they follow nature in the...
Nature has given them a very limited brain when compared to human beings. Animals, she was talking about why, how is that animals not have that kind of attachment?
No, they
will
be protected. When they have children are small, they kill to protect their children.
Yeah.
But after a certain, they let go and then they have, but there is no attachment, they are completely detached.
Because I told you, no, in animals' case, they do not have what is called as prefrontal cortex. And when the prefrontal cortex is developed enough, you learn from the past and plan for the future. This is needed for your survival. Right. In the case of animals, they don't have it beyond a certain limitation. So they can, when a human being has not developed the prefrontal cortex which has been provided to him, mind goes to the past by itself and future. So instead of developing and protecting ourselves, we are going by that undeveloped prefrontal cortex, going and imagining. That is why we get into stress and all that. You remember once, long time ago I spoke about that. If A tiger is chasing a deer or a zebra. And the zebra escapes from the tiger after about 20 minutes or half an hour already. After that half an hour, the zebra can aramse graze the grass. If somebody tried to chase you, after half an hour, 45 minutes, you escaped.
Yes.
Can you sleep nicely that day, a few days? Why is this? Because we have prefrontal cortex, but we have not strengthened it. We are having a weak prefrontal cortex, which goes into the past and future. Animals, they have a limited mind. They cannot go to the past and future. Therefore, they don't have to worry about developing the intellect. Human being is given a choice. Human being has to develop the intellect. If you are not developing the intellect, you are not naturally protected by the nature. The animals are protected by the nature. So they do not create any samsara for themselves. No bank loans, no credit card, debit card business.
No karma also.
That's what? No karma.
They don't create bad, they follow their nature in a way.
Nature, they create good characters.
Mm.
True, no karma. Karma is only for the human beings. That's what I'm trying to tell you, it's mind. Vedanta is not talking about contacting food. Mentally lingering, na? That is only happening in the case of human. Animals are not gluttons. Human beings. Human beings need to develop the buddhi. Human beings are given buddhi. It's a blessing. But the blessing turns into a curse. You give somebody some amount of wealth. See what we are all doing in India. Not only you save for your children, you save for your great, great grandchildren. So much you have to, and you do that fellow. Now you think it's a blessing. Swamiji says, he quotes this in many of his lectures. People say, sir, bless us, because with your blessing we'll become rich. He says, nothing like that works. You have to work to become rich. If you want to become rich, you have to work hard, man. So there's no such thing as my blessing, you know. Supposing something is there like that, he says, I will bless myself first. First, I will bless myself. Then he says, second thing is, what you don't understand is, what you are talking about as a blessing, in many people's case, it's a curse. In Bhaja Govinda, he says that, artam anartam. Artham means wealth. Artham anartham means wealth is calamitous. If you do not know how to control it, it's dangerous. When the objects are available and you have wealth and you do not have control, you are finished. So he says, in fact, it won't be a blessing, it will be a curse. If I don't give you knowledge and you don't gain knowledge, without knowledge if I give you wealth, it's a curse. It's like electricity is there, you do not know how to contact it. It will be a curse, not a blessing. This is what is happening in the world today. Ever since Edison brought electric bulb, lifestyles have become ulta. Complete ulta. Before that everybody was waking up with sun, going to bed with sun. Huh? Electric bulb through.
There was no option.
And because of, I'm not saying it's because of Edison, it's nothing to do with directly to Edison, but he invented electric bulb. Now a lot of people do not see sun on a Sunday. Sunday means they cannot see sun. They should not see sun. Why should not see sun? Sunday. They don't get up only because they sleep only around 1:30 in the morning, I don't know. Right? They don't see the sun. After the sun goes down, they wake up. Because Sunday. Even school children, you know, my son when I wake up. Today is Sunday, don't wake me up. Why are you waking me up? And that is when I go to my class at 6:45, I wake him up. He says, why I have to get up at 6:45? So, the thing is, what is a blessing? We have turned it into a curse. That's what Vedanta is saying.
Blessing is still the blessing. It's just how you live.
Exactly. So the material things in the world, they are blessings.
So Vedanta is not saying don't contact. In fact, the meaning of the word rishi means one who knows how to contact. So Vedanta, when it says you become a rishi, means it's not talking about lifestyle sannyas. That is for some people who want to do research. There are a lot of people who go to college. Not everybody goes to PhD. There are very few such. In fact, I think in every college, PhD is what? 2 people, 5 people, something like that. In single digits. One professor maximum, I think, can take 2 people under him for PhD. Something like that is there. Isn't it? Because, first of all, the professor cannot give time for too many students. And too many students also are not interested in PhD. They won't. So that is different. But what we are talking about here is, mind keeps thinking about it, and then you form the vasanas, and the vasanas bind you. That is samsara. So samsara is mental, emotional level. It's got nothing to do with physical level. Please understand this. So once I understand that Brahman pervades everything, everything is Brahman, I contact the material object, Brahman in the form of a material object, at the physical level for the need at that level. But mentally I am not going to create lingering, craving. That's all. So therefore this chapter, when you understand deeply, it helps you to get rid of samsara. So Ashwatha, please, example he gives, he compares that with samsara. You don't know the beginning of it, you don't know the end of it. How did the whole thing start? My father's father's first father, who will be my last lineage in my distinct? You don't know when it will end, where it will end. The beginning you don't know, the end you don't know. It's huge. And it is constantly changing. And by changing, it serves. The old leaves drop, fresh leaf comes. Old order changes, giving place to the new, says Tennyson, Lord Tennyson. So thus it survives. Morning dies, noon born. Noon dies, evening born. Evening dies, night born. Night dies, morning born. In this change it survives. It continues. So he compares huge big Ashwatha tree to samsara. And that samsaric tree has a root which is not seen. Tree, huge tree you see, but do you see the root? But the tree cannot be without the root. Similarly, the samsara you see, but what you actually miss is the substratum, the root, the Brahman that you don't see. That unseen root is Brahman. The seen, the conceived, contactable, sense contactable experiences, the samsara is seen. That has come from the unseen Brahman. Just like from the unseen root, the Ashwatha tree has come. So that's what he says. They speak of the imperishable Ashwatha giant fig tree with the root above. Why root above means what? So you see, root above. He's talking about inverted Ashwatha tree.
Upside down.
Upside down. Root above.
Hmm.
Branches below. The Ashwatha tree that you know.
The roots are visible.
No.
No. No. No. Which one?
The lot of
Ashwatha.
Ashwatha tree, the root is. Even in banyan tree, roots are not visible. The secondary roots.
Yeah,
the primary root which is inside you don't see. He's talking about primary root. The primary root.
He's talking about an ulta tree, like an upside down tree.
Actually it appears ulta. I'll explain. So why the root above means, root is Brahman, the source. Always you keep the source above. Your parents above. Your guru above.
As revered.
As revered, exactly. As reverence. In that sense also, but there is another meaning also. We'll talk about everything. So you take root above means Brahman above. Right. That is in that sense. and branches below. From the non-apprehension of Brahman, from the ignorance of Brahman, the misapprehension of the world comes about. Branches are here equated to activities. How your activities are born, your action comes from what? Chronology of action. We studied, no?
Thought.
Action comes from?
First thought.
Desire.
Desire. Desire.
Desire comes from? Thought. Thought comes from? Vasanas. Vasanas are nothing but ignorance of Brahman. This we explain with an example. There is Mr. Banerjee. You don't understand Banerjee as Banerjee. The potential of not understanding Banerjee as Banerjee is in Banerjee. There is Shweta. The potential of not understanding Shweta as Shweta is in Shweta. And you do not understand Shweta sometimes. And you have projected Nita, who has similar features. Are you with me? The boulder on the ground. You non-apprehend the boulder as boulder. You misapprehend the boulder as an elephant. You can't misapprehend the boulder as a snake. Can you? Can you misapprehend the boulder as a snake? There is a rope on the ground. You non-apprehend the rope as a rope. And you misapprehend the rope as a snake. Can you misapprehend the rope to be a boulder or an elephant? Why? The qualities have to be similar. So what Vedanta is saying is, there is only Brahman. What are the qualities of Brahman? Eternal, all-pervading, endless. These are the qualities of Brahman. Repeat. Eternal, all-pervading, endless. Now, you are seeing world where there is Brahman. You are seeing snake where there is rope. You are seeing elephant where there is boulder. I am seeing boulder. I am seeing rope. Now you ask me, I ask you to describe the snake that you are seeing. You give the description of the snake that you are seeing. What is it? 5 feet long, 3 inches thick, black in color, coiled. 5 feet long, 3 inches thick, black in color, coiled. Now, what are you actually describing? The qualities of the snake as far as you are concerned. But they are actually the qualities of a rope which is there. 5 feet long, black in color, 3 inches thick, coiled. Okay? So similarly, the non-apprehension of Brahman has produced the misapprehension of the world. Because what is the world made up of? Time, space, causation. What is time? Eternal. Going on eternally, no? What is space? Endless. All pervading. Causation is endless. Space is all pervading, ma'am. Can you say space? Yeah, and causation is endless. Isn't it? Chicken, egg, chicken, egg. Endlessly goes. So time, space, causation is nothing but eternal, all pervading, endless. So what Vedanta says is, where there is Brahman, you have projected a samsara, the world. So the world has come from, Brahman. Ashwatha tree has come from its root. Root is not seen when you are seeing the Ashwatha tree. Similarly, you are seeing the world, Brahman is not seen. The unseen Brahman is above. The world is below. But for you now everything is ulta. See, what is happening when you are actually seeing anything, perception. When I see you, first your image gets registered in my retina. How?
Inverted.
Inverted. isn't it? Then it gets converted in ICU. So this is what he is saying. The world is having value for the world. World means people. Have value for the world, not for Brahman. For you, world is above. Brahman is below. But actually Brahman is above, world is below.
So how we perceive the world is actually like an illusion. It is an illusion, but it's connected to Brahman. It's not completely a...
It is the play of your senses. The world comes when your senses come.
That's why she's talking about it being reversed, where the roots are, in actuality the Brahman is above and the world is below.
Yeah.
We see it as reversed.
Exactly. So he's saying, Brahman is above, root is above. World that comes from that, the activities, come from Brahman. From Brahman comes vasanas. From vasanas comes thought. From thought comes desire. From desire comes action. So how did the vasanas come from Brahman? Therefore Brahman should be above, vasana should be below. Now, in yogic method, I'll explain to you. When you sit down in the cross-legged position, you form the triangle. Correct? You form a triangle with your body. If you focus your energy from the forehead downwards, the thought gets consolidated. You create vasanas. But if you focus your energy from downwards, Mooladhara to Sahasrara, the thought gets dissolved. You realize Brahman. So energy is flowing down, creates samsara. Energy is flowing upwards, creates moksha. Gives, not creates, destroys samsara. So how did this samsara come about? Your thoughts running from you to the world outside, which is portrayed as downwards. When your thoughts run from you to inward, it's going towards Brahman, upwards. Then you will be destroying samsara. So this is another way of putting it. So Brahman above, roots above, and world below, activities below. Whose leaves are the hymns of Vedas? Chandamsi Asya Parnani. The leaves are compared, leaves of the Ashwatha tree is compared to Vedas. Vedas are the conditioned knowledge. The conditioned knowledge has come from the unconditioned Brahman. That is one explanation. Another explanation is, Vedas is talking about here the Karma Kanda portion, which I explained to you in the beginning. Karma Kanda portion are helpful in providing you what? Punya and Pap. And once you develop Punya and Pap, what happens?
You're reborn.
Then the samsara is sustained. That for the tree to be sustained, the most important thing is the leaves. You studied this in school, no? The chlorophyll effect. Photosynthesis is happening. Trees, through the leaves, they survive. We understand that, no? The energy and everything comes to the tree from the leaves. So leaves are sustaining the tree. Similarly, Vedas sustain the samsari. Vedas means karma kanda portion, your rituals, your desired actions. I explained to you in the beginning, no? Karma kanda portion is what? Rituals. Rituals are done for fulfilling desire. So when you function desire ridden in the world, you keep the samsara alive. Chandamsi yasya parnami yastam vedasa vedavit. Vedavit means one who has understood the essence of the Veda, the knowledge. He understands this. Once you understand what happens, you stay apart. And when you stay apart, you don't act desire ridden. That person sees the whole thing. We are not seeing the whole thing.
You are not bothered about the root. You are only bothered about the seed. How many of us really think when there is some advertisement? Buy one, get one free. Buy two, get two free, something like that. You see, do you really think you just run? There will be some catch, and then you are trapped. But the moment you stop and think, you will not go, you will not run. So that's what he's saying. Urdhva moolam adashatam ashvattam prahu avyayam. It is so big, huge tree, the samsara. Where it began, when it began, how I got caught, when this thing is going to end, I have no idea. I can't conceive its form. It is indescribable. The vasanas are indescribable. When did it begin? You can't say. Not only karma is indescribable. Even vasanas, you don't know when it began. When will it end? You always think if I get this, that will be the last. But once I get that, then something else. Then something else. Then something else. It is never ending. Huge. And this samsara gives, like the huge big tree gives shelter to the birds. Huh? Birds won't perch on the tree. So like that, you are, the jiva are perched on the samsaric tree. It's giving you comfort. Without it you are worried. You lift it like the birds. And the branches are going above and below. So some of the, he is explaining that in the next verse. The gunas upward, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. Upward direction, downward direction, activities are propelled by the gunas. All these are comparisons between the ashwata tree and samsara. And interestingly, this samsara tree, ashwata tree, vriksha, can be cut. Vriksha means that which can be cut with a proper axe. Similarly, the samsara also can be cut with a proper axe. What is that axe? He is going to say, it is the axe of non-attachment. It comes in the next verses. But how have you made it strong? How are you making it strong? By your attachment, by your thinking. By constant thinking you are keeping it alive. As you think, so shall you become. It is by your thinking that you have developed attachment. Sometimes, you know, people say, after many years they resign from a particular work which they have been hating. They say, I have been in hell working. But somehow they did not resign. This reason, that reason, some reason or other, they did not resign. And after some time they took courage and resigned after, let's say, 15 years. After resigning, when they become little bit settled, they suddenly think, I don't know, I could have done this 5 years ago, 7 years ago. Why I didn't do it? Who was stopping me? Only my own mind. Because whenever I quit, it is not as if I have paid all my bills and this or that. Still there are some bills pending. But I am making my own arrangements to work and pay that. This I could have done 7 years ago, but somehow my mind was stopping me. Nobody else, your own mind. See, you imagine. It's your imagination. Samsara. So that is what he says. Urdhva moolam. Moolam means, now very interesting. Here he used the word moolam. In the next verse he will use the word moolani. Moolani is plural. Moolam is singular. So moolam here refers to primary root. Primary root is Brahman. But ashwata tree also has secondary roots. Those secondary roots are the ones which cling to the earth and strongly hold the ashwata tree. The secondary roots are the vasanas. So that's the plural. Vasanas are many. But Brahman is one. So moolam, urdhva moolam.
Adar Shakam. Branches are below. And these branches have come from Brahman only. Through the Vasanas. Right? And these branches spread above and below. All this is talking next.
Very silly question, but if Brahman, how does the Vasana start? Because in
there is no answer to that.
There is no...
Vasana started when you opened your eyes today morning. Or in the class. Sometimes you sleep in the class, so in case you sleep, if you wake up, then whenever you started, the whole thing started. You think
it is. Why does it start? I mean, it's a chicken and why does it even
start? See, this is a problem in the, whenever they have a discussion in the spiritual lobbies about karma. Why am I born? Why is Shweta born? Because of the past karma.
Because of
why that thing comes in? Because of the past. Because of the past. Then you ask, how did the first thing start?
How did the first
Vedanta says, nothing started other than your mind. So there is no answer to that. I'll explain to you. Shweta is sleeping and in the sleep she goes to dream. And in the dream I'm asking Shweta, how old are you? He said, 30 years old, 40 years old, 50, whatever you are saying. Now, you, I ask you, you are 30 years old, how old is your father in the dream? He is 50, 55. My mother is 50, he is 55. How old is your grandfather? He is 18. How old is the world? That is eternal. Are you not seeing this in the dream? Now something happens as we are discussing, you wake up. Now, how old was the dream Shweta? Hardly few seconds or minutes. Isn't it? The Shweta who appeared in the dream is hardly 2 minutes, 3 minutes. But she counted for a eternal dream world. Accounted for an eternal dream world. Are you with me?
Yes.
Similarly, today being in the circle, within the circle, we think this is going on eternally. But when you come out, you understand that this just started, madness started just now because of your imagination. It's very difficult to understand. There's a story, Narad Muni and Vishnu. Apparently we are going for a walk. And Narad Muni asked him, Vishnuji, what is this samsara? Narayana, what is this samsara? You understand samsara? He said about samsara, give me some water. I'm thirsty. He went to the river to get some water in a jug. There he saw a beautiful damsel. He fell for her. He proposed. She accepted. And then married. And then produced children. Then school admission, this, that, samsara started. Then he was lost in samsara, so he shouted, oh Narayana, please me, at least save me from this samsara. Vishnu said, forget about samsara, so where is my glass of water? The story ends. The story is trying to tell, you created this world with the figment of your imagination. Now, this is deep. You asked for it, so you have to swallow the medicine. this chapter is like Upanishad. I can't help it. This is deep. See, when did this world begin? It was an eternal this, that. You notice one thing. World and you always come together. When you go to the deep sleep, in deep sleep world is not there for you. When the awareness of yourself is not there, world is also not there. And whenever you become aware of the world, you are there. You and the world come together. Are you with me? Your thoughts and the senses, when they come alive, the world comes alive. So, your reality of the world is you projecting a reality for the world is based on your senses report. Isn't it? If I let loose an elephant in this room. This is not a small room. First of all, it may not come in. For you, decent room. For an ant, huge room you have given. Whose senses are to be relied upon? And secondly, if you lose one sense, 1/5 of the world is gone for you. Can't hear. 1/5 is gone. The ticking sound from the clock, as far as you are concerned, is not there. You will see the clock. You will see the clock moving. Right? But you will not hear the ticking sound. The hands of the clock are moving. A ticking sound is not experienced by you. 1/5 of the world is gone for you. Similarly, if you can't see, 2/5 is gone. See and hear, 2/5 gone. Each sense gone means that much world is gone. So you are saying that the world is real is because of the sense. What is interesting is, senses themselves are part of the world, no? Are they something apart from the world? What are they made up of? Your senses are made up of 5 elements. What is the world made up of? 5 elements. Senses themselves are world. So world is saying world is real.
You exist, so the world exists.
So you...
If you do not exist, the world doesn't exist. So in deep sleep, you are going into deep sleep. You are not in your waking state. You are not in the world state. So the world doesn't exist.
For you.
For that duration, for you, for that time.
And what Vedanta is therefore trying to tell you is, when you are not there, the world is not there. When your vasanas are manifest, the world comes. Right? So when you get rid of your vasanas, you understand that there is only Brahman. So what is there is interpreted by your senses as the world. World is interpreted by your... Sorry, Brahman is interpreted as the world by your senses. What is there is only colorless light. When that passes through the prism, in this case your mind, the vajrayanic 7 colors come. The 7 colors of the world, variety of experiences, which has come from one colorless light only. But it is passed through the prism of your mind. So there is only consciousness. When it is passed through the mind, you are experiencing the world.
Then vasanas exist in Brahman, because Brahman, everything that exists has to exist in Brahman.
So then you will understand vasanas cannot exist in Brahman.
That's why I'm asking.
Because ignorance cannot be in knowledge.
So then how, then where does it come from outside? Brahman is all inclusive.
That is Maya. You're trying to understand it intellectually, you cannot understand. You can only be wrong.
Vasanas have...
You can't say Vasana exists in Brahman.
Yeah, because Brahman is pure consciousness.
Pure knowledge. How can pure knowledge have
existence? How can Vasana
the mind?
Your mind. You created it.
Vasana is in the mind. But then everything is in the mind.
Mind like a child is pure mind. Huh? It doesn't have Vasana when I'm born child.
Has Vasana. Child has Vasana.
That's why it's coming to the body.
Manifestation may take.
Time.
Fully. Mm. But vasanas is the cause for the child to be born.
I think this cause and effect thing is so interesting, because the one of the things you cannot choose is your parents, your siblings.
No,
so I think you can.
No, it's
your choice.
You choose.
Yeah.
Right now, whatever in your limit. Like right now, if I think that in my next work I'm going to choose my parents.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe the desire will start. Like,
yeah.
So you can choose.
Yeah.
Start thinking so much, you make your vasana so strong, so then it continues when you leave this body. I guess that's what you are
saying.
That's how you choose. But otherwise, when
more your current
effect. But you're not consciously choosing. Like say, I would choose to be with you as a friend, or choose to be with you as a friend. But I cannot choose my parents. I cannot choose my siblings. I can choose a husband.
In this life, you mean?
In this life. But not in this life, what we know of. We don't know of the previous thing. So there is something Like they say, the child chooses the womb. So that's the previous?
Child chooses the womb according to the
Vasanas
are the package that is left, in simplistic terms, when we leave our body in this world.
Yeah.
Vasanas get carried forward. So they are the impression, the conditioning, that carry forward, which we have not
exhausted,
destroyed. No?
Yeah. Yeah.
The destruction that we talk about, Shiva's destruction, it is to destroy this from start.
So once Vasanas are not destroyed, you will be born again. Yeah. So you will be destroyed, no more birth.
So that's the bondage.
No more birth means, in this Janma itself you understand that you are birthless. This is a fake reflection. Mamta is a fake reflection. Shweta is a fake reflection. Lakshminarayan is a fake reflection. Once we understand this, it is a reflection brought about by my imagination. That imagination, I cut it. But it doesn't exist. See, imaginations are very powerful. I told you, no, that charcoal example. Cold charcoal in your hand, if I hypnotize you, then it is hot, you drop it. Then when I bring you out of it, causes you see mark. So through imagination, sadhana has come. The sadhana is not, see, ice is nothing but water. Right? You are seeing it as ice. As if it, you see sometimes there are icebergs floating in river, right? Water also you see icebergs. Is the iceberg looking separate? You can actually separate it from the water. But are they really separate from water?
No.
They are essentially water. Similarly, now you are thinking sadhana, these are icebergs. You understand? These are icebergs. Now you are thinking separate. The ego, that is the maya.
The form it has taken is because
right.
Of
the now the ego has certain desire. And when I get that I feel good. When I lose that I feel bad. And somebody else gets what I want, I feel jealous. Then I'm getting caught in this samsara. Then everybody is saying, Mamta, how are you? Oh, you put on weight, you lost weight, you great, you this happened. Kya hua? You're not happy today. Oh, you're very happy, kya hua? All this then reinforcing. Imagine, you are imagining this slowly the individuality is created. Your mind. But that becomes real because she is also saying, you know, everybody is saying. So if I come and say self, you should be careful with this guy. If she comes and calls you Mamta, you are very happy. Because she is also calling you Mamta, she is also calling, everybody is calling Mamta, you are happy. Fake has become real. Now the real thing whoever says you are suspecting that guy. This is the problem in this world. So the This is fake. From that level, from this level is real. So when you are relating, you are coming down to this level and relating. Keeping that absolute level at the background when you relate, no issues over.
The senses, you saying like the one first thing goes off, so that much of contact with
that much world is gone as well.
It's gone, the two first thing. Now, when a person has all the five senses intact, but let's say the mind, let's say mentally challenged person, born as a mentally challenged person. So in a way the mind cannot comprehend like an average normal person. Whether it is autism, whatever you call it, you know, the mind, okay, let's say retarded, let's to put it crassly, mentally retarded in earthly terms, retarded being. So the mind doesn't work like our mindset.
Yeah, but they live in their own mind.
But they live in their own mind.
So we are also living in our own mind.
They actually be more evolved as the samsaric cycle of birth and death. Would they actually be more evolved in a way? Because mind is not evolved. I mean closer to liberation because they don't get caught in the samsara.
See, they think too much. But it is not a conscious thing.
It's not conscious. That's the thing.
So that is why man of perfection. Man of perfection is compared to a retarded person. Know that.
But that man is consciously controlling the mind.
Means like a madman. A man of perfection is called as Unmattavat. Vat means like. Unmattavat means like a madman. Balavat means like a child. He's not a child.
So child has no ego, madman has no ego. In that sense he appears perfect. But in this case it's an unconscious thing. In the realized soul's case it's a conscious thing.
The conscious thing is
a consciousness.
So he says, Urdhvamulam Adashakam Ashvattam Prabhupadam Chandamsi Asya Parnani. Leaves are the Vedas because they sustain the tree. And also if you take Swami's interpretation, the conditioned knowledge, Vedas, they come from the unconditioned Brahman. Now, Yastam Vedasa Vedavithi. One who understands this whole thing, the tree with its root, then he is liberated. He is the one who is knowledgeable. Why? Because he never gets involved. He'll see, he'll act, but he'll not get involved. But we get involved, we create more orders in the samsara. He is the real person with knowledge. We'll study this further in the next class. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnamat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि अद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि. Thank you.